Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Twisted Pairs. If you look in the scriptures, you go back in the New Testament especially, the early church had very little political clout, if any. It was not a democracy. There were Caesars, there were governors in place, Romans ruled, they just did whatever they were told to do, and the only power they had was the power of God. Paul was a Roman citizen, which got him out of some situations. He appealed to Caesar, which probably has saved his life. He was in a spot, sometimes he was being beaten, and he'd say, is it lawful to beat a Roman? And they'd freak completely out and step back and say, we didn't know you were Roman. So there were some citizenship issues that protected you a little bit, and Paul specifically, but basically Christians were nobodies. And it's interesting to live in a country like the United States where we have a democracy, we have the opportunity to speak. And sometimes it takes a long time and it takes a lot of people to speak, but you have something called a vote. And you can have an issue and you can say, okay, well, I don't agree with that issue and I've prayed about this issue, especially when the government tries to legalize sin. Now stop and think about that a minute. When your government protects you from certain things that are just harmful to you, laws for speed limits, there's just certain things that make sense. But when a government steps in and says, you know what, we're going to cross the line and we're going to legalize a particular sin, you say, well, but you know what, we need to be tolerant, we need to be patient, and for God's sake, we need to be politically correct. And I'm still trying to find that verse in my Bible where it says anything about being politically correct. I do believe there's a place for being gracious. I do think there's a place for being patient with people, for loving people, speaking the truth in love. But I'm going to tell you what, guys, there is a place for standing up for something sooner or later. Now, we're going to look at some verses here. First one I want you to go to is 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and following. And Paul writes to Timothy specifically, and he says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. There is a connection to praying for people in authority and living a godly life and having what? Look at what he says here, a quiet and peaceable life. You want a quiet, peaceable life, a quiet, peaceable country? Then pray for people in authority over you. You say, well, I don't agree with their politics. Who cares? It says nothing about politics here. It says nothing about Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, anything. It just says pray for them, period. It doesn't matter who's there. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is a connection in praying for your leadership, in praying that things go well, and somehow all of that ties into even people getting saved. In a democracy, we have the right and responsibility to vote and shape our own future. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, morality cannot be legislated, but behavior can be regulated. Judicial decrees may not change the heart, but they can restrain the heartless. What you can't legislate is this, holiness. Only God can change a heart and a life. So we have laws, we have government, we have restrictions, and we try to at least give people boundaries and they still push those limits. You can put all that in place and be completely pleased with the laws in place, and we'll tell you something, only God can make someone's heart change. Only God can make a man or a woman holy, can change them from the inside out. The rest is external regulation. Now, someone comes along and says, well, I think that such and such and such and such, that's your opinion. Someone says, I believe such and such and such and such, that's a conviction. But when you say, the Bible says, that should be the basis of whatever you believe. Now, here's where I want to go today.
Too many times we read everything in the world but the Bible. We talk to everybody in the world but God, instead of going to God first, going to his word first and saying, you know what, God, let's just simplify this. What do you think? What do you say? And then I'm going to decide if I agree with you, and if I agree with what you say, then I'm going to choose to live my life that way. And no matter who comes along or what they say, I may listen, I may be patient with them, I may be gracious in hearing their opinion. But you know what? It doesn't matter who comes along and what they say. If you know what God says, you don't have to back down. The problem is we don't know what God says. And we get in a conversation and we're nervous and, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Let me tell you something. If you believe anything, sooner or later, you're going to offend somebody. And one of the things I am so tired of is that all of a sudden Christians are the new minority. And everyone else can stand up and protest and, oh, they have the right to do that. You let a Christian stand up and say, you know what? I believe something. I don't just believe it because I made it up. I believe it because I found it in the Word of God and I'm going to speak what I say. Oh, you're a bigot. You're being intolerant. And all of a sudden they just bury us. You know what? You don't have to push your fight back. You just stand there and say, well, maybe so, but I'm not moving because this is just right. And it's not because I say it's right. It's because God says it's right. Now go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Jump down to verse 7. You can read, so go read it yourself. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So it's from Paul to everybody in Rome, these Christians in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He's writing to these Christians, and he's going to lay down some tracks here and explain to them what happens, what goes wrong, what goes right, and how to handle this. Jump down to verse 16. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible right here, 1:16, Romans 1:16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now, if you shut me off after this point, just hear this. Anytime, any place, any situation, if all you can get out is this, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead. That's all they got to hear. You say, well, what's that? That is the gospel. And that is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now look at verse 18. He takes a turn here. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Now let me just break this down as simple as I can. There is nobody on the planet who doesn't know there's a God. That's the bottom line. And we get all worried and say, well, what about all those people over in Africa and China and all these places? They've never heard. They don't have to hear jack. It's everywhere. All they got to do is open their eyes and listen. And if they can't even see or hear, it's inside of them. He exists. He's built it into the system. He is. What may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, and look at these words, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, let me tell you what I think this is about. I think it's about worship. They did not glorify God in their hearts. And the Holy Spirit of God comes along, moves into your life, somebody's life, and begins to reveal himself to you. And you say, you know what? No, I'm not yielding to that. I'm not doing that. I'm not worshiping a God. Forget God, whoever that is. I got something else I can see, something tangible. But look at the sequence here of what happens to them. They're without excuse. They knew God. They did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like incorruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And look at the idolatry that exists in the world today. You go to countries all over the planet. They got carved anything, everything. Little fat guys with their legs crossed, and they're, even if he's smiling, he's nothing. The number of people who believe a lie doesn't change it to the truth. I may lose a few more today, but that's all right. Look at verse 24. Now, I'm animated, I'm passionate, and I'm going at this, but I'm going to tell you something. If what I'm about to read you doesn't break your heart, something's wrong. Because, see, some people say, that's right, Richard, scare the hell out of them. Hellfire, brimstone, be angry, be, I'm not angry, I'm passionate. Because what happens is if you go to this place, if you are aware of this amazing God, just what he's created, if that's not enough, more than anything you have seen or heard or imagined that he has done, from the microcosmic to the macrocosmic, any end of the spectrum, there is nothing like Jesus coming, born of a virgin, living a sinless life, dying on that cross for me, being buried and raised from the dead to give me a life, eternal life, an abundant life. It doesn't get any better than that. But see, if you refuse to believe in him and in that, you end up in a very bad place. I don't mean hell, I mean in your life, because it starts to go, the toilet starts to spin, you have hit flush and you're going down. And here's what happens to people who shut God out and become fools. Their minds, their hearts are darkened. They begin to worship any and everything but God. Look what God does to them. Therefore, verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged, now look at this, you make a decision when you do this, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. You basically make a deal with the devil. You say, you know what, I think I know what the truth is, but I'm not doing the truth, so I'll tell you what, I'll swap my truth for your lie, and I believe I'll take the lie. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Now look at this phrase. What did they do? They worshiped and served the creature. What should they have been doing? Worshiping and serving the creator. Are you worshiping and serving the creator? Because if you're not, you will begin to worship and serve some creation. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And then he keeps going. Verse 26. For this reason, we got 24 there, God gave them up to uncleanness, but it keeps going. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. It doesn't get better. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Okay, what does that mean? It's women sleeping with women. You say, well, but, and this is what's so fascinating to me. Some people say, well, I can, you know, I'm not comfortable with a man and a man together. Oh, that's just offensive. But I could see a woman with a woman. You're going down the toilet with everybody else. You got a category. Well, that makes sense. You know, women are gentle and they're nice. And, you know, as long as they're not too butch or something, if they're two nice, normal-looking women and they raising a child together, that all looks okay. What are you talking about? You say, but so many people are doing it, and let's just be patient and tolerant. I'm for being all that, but you know what? If they can say what they believe, I can say what the book says. You say, well, you're angry about it. You're being mean about it. I'm not being angry or mean. I'll sit down with anybody and say, you know what? You're in a bad place, and you know it in your heart, and if you don't, your heart is dark, and you're going to end up in a worse place. If you want to talk about it, let's talk about it and help you. Even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful. And by the way, the word shameful here is the word in Greek that we get the word an indecency, and by implication, the pudenda, which is the human external genital organs. He uses such a graphic word here, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Shame, that which is unseemly. Men with men committing what is shameful, and that's the word he puts in there. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Twisted pairs. And look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. And I love that translation myself in this category. You talk about something that doesn't fit. The fit is a man and a woman in the most basic terms. Little kids figure this out. Now, I know I'm losing some of you. I'm going to tell you why I'm losing you. Because our darkened minds say, I don't like this. I've got some friends that are gay. I've got some friends that they're very committed to each other. They're monogamous. I don't care what you prop up around it, guys. The second you stop calling sin what it is, you're done. Jesus died to save sinners. Until you get somebody to be a sinner, you got no answer for them. You say, but my sister, my mama, my brother, my son, my daughter, you got all the people. You know what? It doesn't matter how many people you know and love are something. It doesn't make it right. If you got friends who are in jail for stealing, well, they need to let them out. That's not right. That's my son. Let him out. He stole something, but he shouldn't be in jail. It's either right or it's wrong. But as soon as we start calling what is wrong right, then Jesus can't help you. You say, well, I've just got this really bad habit. Jesus can't help you. You got a sin in your life? I got an answer for that. I got some blood you can sprinkle on that and get fixed that. Verse 28 again. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. Look where it goes to. And we may be picking up some of y'all now, finally. All unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, just making up new evil stuff to do. Disobedient to parents, indiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, they know what's coming, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. I know exactly what I'm going to get, but you know what? I don't care. And not only am I going to do it, but I'm going to encourage everybody around me who's doing what I'm doing. Proverbs 14:12 and a few other places says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now see, I'm fine with someone, whatever your sin is, we're folks in here a little bit on homosexuality, but whatever your sin is, I love it when somebody comes out. I'm gay. Okay, that's a nice start. Now what are we going to do about that? Are you going to stay with a dark heart going down the toilet? Or are you going to say, okay, now I've admitted my situation or my sin, now I can work with you. I got an answer for that. Jesus can change your life. If you want a new life and a new lifestyle, you say, but I know people that have done that and they still struggle. We got men in here who've struggled sexually for years. They're heterosexual and they still can't do the right thing. So we're not throwing people out because they struggle. It's just, is there an intent to change your life or not? Or you just settle in. You say, well, you know what? I'm an adulterer. I was born an adulterer. I'm going to die an adulterer. I'm just an adulterer. Well, that sounds absurd. Well, then why would we allow it in any other category? I was born a thief, I steal, I'm going to die a thief. That's just what I am. God bless me. But someone comes along and says, I was born gay, I'm going to die gay. You say, oh, well, that, of course, that's okay. Do you hear what you're thinking and saying? We've made this little category because we don't want to offend a group of people. When Jesus showed up, he offended lots of people. Elton John. There's nothing wrong with going to bed with someone of your own sex. People should be very free with sex. They should draw the line at goats. You say, well, but see, he's got a boundary. See, oh, now I'm comfortable with Elton John because he won't sleep with a goat. There are people who will. But see how we get moved? And by the way, thank God, you know, you just better thank God I'm not reading the bestiality passages. It's in the Bible too. See what the devil says, well, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to push it just this far. We're not going for goats. We're just going to get men and women, men and men, Mr. and Mr., Mrs. and Mrs. We're going to push it that far and just ooze on them a little bit. Just lull them to sleep slowly but surely. Let some political, you know, stuff and just lull them to sleep and let it happen. And then we'll move it to children. And if you're a student at all of history, you'll see that these things move. And you say, well, but why would you? It's not pedophilia. It's just, this man has a preference for children, and you shouldn't stop that. And just because a man enjoys little boys, they're just a little younger than young men. You say, well, that's true. And then you read your Bible and it seems so backwards because everybody's saying something else. This book hadn't changed for thousands of years. And you know what? God hadn't changed either. Howard Dean said, from a religious point of view, if God had thought homosexuality as a sin, he would not have created gay people. Now, I want you to go to one more passage, Romans chapter 2, the next chapter, because this is where everybody jumps with this thing about Christians. Now, look where Paul goes right after this torrent. What does he say? Because of what I've just said, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. Now, what is he saying? Exactly what I said. When you start reading chapter 1 and you get into it, if it doesn't break your heart and you start judging them, you know what? I don't care what you're doing. Somewhere you're thinking and feeling some evil stuff. You just haven't been caught yet. And God knows your heart. When you start wagging a finger judgmentally, what that indicates is you're doing the same thing. And sometimes the people who get up and come hardest down on sexual perversion, homosexuality, secretly in their heart, they got something going on. There's no compassion. It's a buffer. It's a stiff arm to say, I'm going to point it at that so you won't find my stuff. You who judge practice the same thing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? You think, well, God's just going to judge those evil people. He's coming after us too. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? If he's going to drop the hammer, it had dropped. He's doing what? The riches of his goodness, his forbearance, long-suffering, knowing that it's the goodness of God that leads you to repent, to change your mind and say, you know what, God, help me. I've got to stop. I can't live this way and die this way. Change me from the inside out. The mercy of God is here. But he is not going to tolerate with people who are out loud, coming out, living a certain way. He's not going to tolerate our hearts either. It's not just wicked behavior. It's wicked and evil thoughts and imaginations of the heart. And sometimes Christians are the worst for throwing these people away. God's not throwing them away. He died for them too. And look at this. Look at what he's saying now. Verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. And here's the two categories. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. This isn't about being Jew or Gentile, Jew or Greek, straight or gay. You may be straight as a nail by everybody's observation, heterosexual, whatever you are, but your heart could be as evil as their heart is, and God says, you know what, I'm coming after you too. But I'm going to give you the chance, all of you, a chance to repent and to change your mind and to respond to who I am and what I've manifest and not be darkened in your heart anymore and not deny that I'm here, but glorify me and thank me and praise me and worship me like you're supposed to.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now, the title was Twisted Pears. Let me read you a definition for what a twisted pear is. And anybody that's in the phone business, have you ever looked in the phone cabinet in a closet and they got all these colored wires and they're all twisted together and poked in a thing? Listen to the definition of what a twisted pear is. Twisted pair cabling is a common form of wiring in which two conductors are wound around each other for the purpose of canceling out electromagnetic interference, which can cause crosstalk. The number of twists per meter make up part of the specification for a given type of cable. Now listen to this. The greater the number of twists, the more crosstalk is reduced. Is your life so twisted that it has eliminated all the crosstalk?
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.